For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Glory to God. Tonight we're looking at the restoration works of faith. Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. We thank you, Lord, that you have called us to be faith people, to be people that stand in faith, walk by faith, live by faith. And Lord, I pray that tonight, as we look at this and see the connection of the word with healing and strength and health, that Father, we take that into our hearts and believe it and mix it with faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, over the years, I've learnt a few things about faith, and you would expect that if you have immersed yourself in the Word, because the Bible clearly tells us that we are to live by faith. We are not to be people that are living in any other way as Christians. So there's a few things that we need to understand. When the Bible talks about the word heart, for example, it's not talking predominantly about the blood pump, it's talking about the inner man, the spirit and the soul, the inner man, and it's the part where the word of God can go in to people and get root as a seed and thereby grow in people's lives. And this is very, very important for us to understand, because God has put the principle of sowing and reaping right through his creation. Sowing and reaping. So if you sow the word of God into your heart, you're going to get, and if you do that diligently, you're going to get a good harvest from that, as long as certain conditions are met. And of course, one of those conditions is the state of the heart. Now, when I was a young Christian, the word repentance was a very scary word to me, okay? And I believe that it's a very scary word to a lot of Christians, but I think it's a very, very necessary, thing in people's lives, because it actually clears things out of the way. It's nothing to be embarrassed by, because if there is something that is affecting your heart condition, you need to get that cleared out of the way. And that's very, very important for us to understand. Let's first of all turn to Proverbs 14, and we'll look at verse 30. Proverbs 14:30. So we have to understand that in God's eyes, he is looking at the heart of man. He's looking at the heart, and he sees the condition of the heart. Obviously, you cannot hide anything from God, and this is where, if you have an honest heart, you're going to see through the word, oh, that needs to be dealt with in order for me to go ahead, in order for me to get my healing, in order for me to be able to walk in blessing. And that's what God wants for his people, for his people to be blessed and to walk in blessing. You know, there's many things that people can do that can undermine faith. We know, for example, faith worketh by love. And if a person in their life undermines that by not walking in love, then you can see that's going to undermine our faith walk as well. Looking at verse 30 of Proverbs 14, it says, and this is a very, very important spiritual principle and law, a sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. So you can see a sound heart is one that's going to affect the flesh, the body, in a good way. It's the life of the flesh. So Christians should be aiming to keep their heart sound. Okay? Now, if you do a bit of thinking and a bit of studying of the Word of God, you'll understand that The primary target of the devil is the heart, and in particular, the thinking, the way you think and the way you're believing. It's with the heart man believeth, the Bible says. So that's where the devil's going to be targeting. He's going to be trying to put things into people's hearts. He's going to try to put weeds in there. He's going to try to put hardness and obstacles. And as we see here in verse 30, we see he'll try to put things like envy. Well, envy is resident in the heart too. Okay, and it says that will result in rottenness of the bones. So if we do not understand as faith Christians and that there is a correlation or a relationship between the state of our heart and the flesh or our walk in blessing, then we've got some real troubles. There's some real problems there. And the Bible's so very, very clear about what's in your heart is going to produce either the good things or the bad things. You see, a sound heart is the life of the flesh. You cannot alter that. You cannot alter that. You cannot alter that as a spiritual law. If there's a sound heart in God's eyes, that's going to affect the flesh by being the life of the flesh. You know, we know other scriptures, such as a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. So getting the joy of the Lord in there is so very, very important. And Jesus said, well, let's have a look at verse chapter 15, verse 13. It says there, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. So there's things that can get into a person's heart, if we allow them to, which can be either for good or for bad. You can see a merry heart is going to be a good thing because you're allowing the joy of the Lord in there. Jesus said, be of good cheer. He said, my joy I give you, that you may be your joy may be full. So we have the joy of the Lord available to us. And of course there's scriptures which say the joy of the Lord is your strength. So that good thing can be in your heart, but also there can be these other things that are not going to do a great deal of good, such as envy and sorrow and so on. And we're going to look at a few others in a minute. Now, the reason I'm saying this is because it is so very, very important in a Christian's life to be delivered from the snare of the fowler, to be taken out of the midst of trouble, to have in your heart that good ground so that the Word of God can take root and be effective in your life. Because it's the Word of God and how it affects you that's going to bring real results. So where you see the word heart, you've got to understand that as the inner man. And you've got to understand that there can be good things that come into a person's heart, which will result in blessings, such as the life of the flesh. And there can be the bad things, such as envy, which can result in bad things such as the rottenness of the bones. So let's be of an understanding heart here, so we understand where the battle is at. Where is the devil targeting? Where is the world targeting? Well, what did Jesus say? Let not your heart be troubled. He says that, we won't turn to it, but he says that in John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. So we know very clearly that God doesn't want trouble to get into your heart. He doesn't want that at all. If you have a look at Mark 4, well, we've looked at this a few times, but it bears it really is important for us to have a look at this so that we can understand. Where the crucial matter is for us to be able to walk effectively in faith. So, and one of the things that, as I said before, that's really, really important, which will clear the heart, is that thing called repentance. And as I said before, to me as a young Christian, it was scary. I wasn't taught anything about it. But as I got older in the Lord and looked into the scriptures more, and I started to see that it is a gift that the Lord can give us. In fact, the Bible calls it a gift, that can change the way the heart is. So that whereas there were things that were not supposed to be there because of various attitudes we may have had, or we let things get in, or we got a root of bitterness in there, or we envied, or something like that, or we didn't walk in love, that repentance before God can clear that completely for. Now, we see that the devil, as I said before, is a thief and a destroyer, and he's targeting the heart. And it's important for us to see that, because if you don't see that, you're going to have real troubles understanding the connection between the state of the heart and what the Lord wants for your life. In Mark 4, verse 14, we'll look at verses 14 and 15, and you'll see what the actions of Satan and the actions, of course, of the Lord. The sower soweth the word. So there's the word, which is the seed. The sower soweth the word. Where's he sowing it into? Where's he sowing it into? Well, he's sowing it into the heart. Verse 15, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Okay, so where was the word sown? Sown in their hearts. But there was a real problem with this person's heart. And you can see the action of Satan. He comes immediately. He wants to get that word out of people's hearts. And if you can't get the word out of people's hearts, he'll try to choke the word in people's hearts, or cause the word to be choked. But I want you to see that Satan is wanting to get Christians to be ineffective and not have blessing in their life. And so he's targeting the heart. And specifically, he's seeking to get the word either ineffectual in people's lives or out of the heart completely. As it says there, he's able to take away the word that was sown in their hearts, in this case here. And let's keep on going a bit further. Verse 16, and these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves. Why is that? Because there's stones in there. There's hardness in there. This is the state of the heart. Hardness in there. If you know, you probably have known people who have had hardness of their hearts, and they are resistant to change. Resistant to change. And because of that, the word, they can say, well, yeah, well, that's a great word. That's a great word. But they're not ready to change. They're not ready to change. And so even though initially they might receive it, there's no root in themselves. There's nothing in there that the word can develop in there. And as it says here, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Verse 18. Now, what we're going to see here in verses 18 and 19 is something that the part of the devil's strategy is to get into the heart things. And remember, what did Jesus say? Let not your heart be troubled. So what does the devil want to do? He wants to get into people's hearts troubles or cares or worries. Okay, so it's our responsibility to let not our heart be troubled. as it says in verse 18, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. If this wasn't written down, it'd be almost an unbelievable type of statement. Something choking the word of God? Something choking the word of God? Well, it's very clear what it's talking about. Thorns are what this is likened to. Thorns that can choke, because it's in the ground there of a person's heart, can choke the word, that is, not allow the word to produce any fruit. And so we see here the cares of this world. The cares of this world. The cares of this world are worries and fears. The things that are going to choke the word. Why? Because if we all are aware of this, when fears and worries come, we can choose to meditate on that. We can choose to take hold of those thoughts. And rather than letting the word of God have its place in terms of changing our thinking, changing our ways and so on, these type of things start to consume, and you've seen it no doubt and even experienced it yourself, where you get to a stage where it's the only thing you're thinking about. You know, there's a fear and that's the only thing you're meditating on, or there's a worry and that's all that's in there. Well, see, God doesn't want that type of situation. That type of situation is going to cause a choking of the word. A choking of the word. The cares of this world. The cares of this world. If we allowed ourselves to be meditating on the various things that are out there in the world rather than on the word of God, and Joshua 1 tells us what we should be looking at day and night, meditating on day and night, and that's the word of God. So the word of God has to be deliberately put into our lives in a way that is going to cause those thorns and so on to be out. So in other words, we fill our hearts with the word of God rather than allowing these other things to come in, these other things to choke the word of God. Now, the cares of this world, there are many, many cares of this world that are around us. There is much around concerning the deceitfulness of riches. There's much around us concerning the lusts of other things. But notice it says they're entering in. They didn't get there by chance, random processes. They were allowed in. These things were allowed in. And they choke the word and it becometh unfruitful. Well, what does God want with his word? What does he want his word to do in his people's lives? In verse 20 it tells us, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit. And think about what good ground is. There's no hardness in it. There's no stones. Good ground doesn't have the thorns sown in it. It's been weeded out. Good ground has the word of God coming in. It's being watered. Good ground is being tended. And such as hear the word. So the word can come in. The word can come in. And it's a very deliberate act that we have to give. And that is give place to the word of God so that when the word comes in, we are nurturing that in our lives rather than nurturing other things in our lives. It's very, very important for us to see this, because we're looking at the restoration works of faith. God wants his people to have hearts that are restored and lives that are restored. But you know, there's some people that never hear a faith sermon and never hear a healing sermon. Never hear a deliverance sermon. And there's people that have deliberately put themselves into places which or we can't have that type of word. And because of that, they're not going to be bothered by it, and they'll remain in a insular type of way, so that they're not going to be able to come to a stage where they can receive the Word of God and have a good ground and allow the Word to bring out maximum fruit. And this is what it says: and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the Word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Now if you go across to Philippians 4, now God gives a command here in Philippians 4 verse 6. We'll read verse 7 as well. Philippians 4 verse 6 and 7. And one thing that we need to understand is, how do we know that we are in faith? How do we know we're in faith? Do you think if your heart is all in turmoil and what's coming out of your mouth is all contradictory to the Word of God, do you think that means you're in faith? Well, surely not. You'd be deceived if you think that. The Bible tells us very clearly that they which have believed do enter into rest. So the heart will be in a state of rest in the Lord, of peace, of joy in the Lord. So if you're finding that there is not that rest and peace and joy, then you need to do something. You need to make something right in the eyes of the Lord in order for you to come into that rest, peace and joy. So notice what it says in verse 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing. And in this context here, it's talking about don't be full of care or worry. Be careful for nothing. Yes, but I might need to worry about this. Well, for a start off, not only is your worry not going and fear not going to do anything, but it's also contradicting what God has told you to do. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. That doesn't stop there, because it says in verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So what we see here is that you have obeyed the Lord, you have said, well, I'm careful for nothing. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take this in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. I'm going to let my requests be made known unto God. Notice it says with thanksgiving. So you come before the Lord and request that and thank the Lord. And you've got into the Word of God. You've allowed the Word to be in your life. Now, if you have been full of care, if you have been full of worry and fear, you know, sometimes those type of things can really come upon people with strong feelings of fear and worry. But you need to be really in the Lord. You need to stand up and say, no, I reject that. The Bible says God has delivered me from all my fears, and that's the truth. I reject these fears, these worries, these things that are coming against me, and I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer. And you know what happens is that the peace of God comes into your life, and you know you're in a state of faith when the peace of God is in your life. Notice it says which passeth all understanding, because if you relied on your understanding or lean on your understanding, you might think, well, this is happening and how could that work out and so on. Well, see, you actually have to say, well, I refuse to let my heart be troubled, because that commandment that the Lord Jesus Christ gave, to let not my heart be troubled, I stand in that and I obey him in the name of Jesus. And that commandment, be careful for nothing, I choose that. I obey you, Lord. I obey you about that. Because what we want is what verse 7 says, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That peace of God, you're resting in the Lord. You're resting in Him. You're at peace in Him. That's that you'll know you're in faith because you've got that peace, you've got that joy, and it's passing understanding. You know, you might in the natural thought life, there might be thoughts coming. Oh yes, but what about that? What about this? This could be a problem, and so on. But you say no, and this is where you need to get into the scripture. Say no. This is what I'm believing, this is what I'm standing in, and this is the way I'm going to. You see, if you concentrate on, for example, if all you're putting into your mind are the things that the world is projecting, and there's plenty of things that the world is projecting which is not necessarily good, and they project it in the media quite a lot, and if that's all you're watching, and that's all you're doing, and that's all you're putting into your heart, and you're neglecting things like the word or prayer or getting before the Lord, that's going to be a real trouble, a real problem. If you have a look at Matthew 24, for example, Matthew 24, and we'll read just verse 6. Matthew 24, verse 6. Now, there's just a few key words I want to zero in on here. And, of course, put it in the context of Jesus saying, "Let not your heart be troubled." Matthew 24, verse 6. "And ye shall hear of wars and rumours of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." You see, we can concentrate on all the wrong things and allow our hearts to be troubled. But God is saying here, see that you be not troubled. If Jesus says, see that you be not troubled, can you be not troubled? Yes, you can. If God is saying that you can have the peace of God that passes all understanding in your life, that so that it keeps your heart and mind, can that happen? Yes. But you've got to do the verse before it. You're going to say, I refuse to be careful about anything. I let not my heart be troubled. And I bring whatever it is, I bring it before the Lord in prayer with thanksgiving. So very, very important for us to see this, because God is wanting to restore His people right across the earth. Right across the earth, because as I've mentioned many times before, there are all types of bondages and problems that people are in. Have a look at Psalm 119, verses 49 and 50. You see, the Word of God is the answer. The Word of God is always the answer. And, you know, if you have had these problems connected with fear and worry and unbelief, the Word of God is the answer. Not taking yourself away from the Word of God, but getting more into the Word of God. And you'll see what the psalmist says here in Psalm 119, verses 49 and 50. And he talks about affliction here. Now, all of us are going to have affliction come to us, but what do we do? What do we do? Verses 49 and 50 says, "Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope." Well, that's the way we should be approaching the word. God has caused us to hope in His word. Verse 50, "This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me." Thy word hath quickened me. But where does the word have to get into? It has to get into the heart, doesn't it? The word of God will quicken you and your flesh as you get it into your heart. And more than getting the cares of this life into your heart, or the lusts of other things and so on. So more, you see, think about people who have real addictions, and there's many types of addictions, but you'll know that people with addictions expose themselves to particular things, and they are allowing themselves to have that on a continual basis. Okay? We know that there's things connected to the internet where people have addictions, and so on. But what are they exposing themselves to? What are we exposing ourselves to? If we allow the Word of God, then when affliction comes, we can say, Lord, you have given me a word. You have given me the Word of God. I have looked into your Word. I'm a person of the Word. And you've caused me to hope in your Word. And as verse 50, this is my comfort in my affliction. So there can be afflictions that will come. For thy word hath quickened me. Thy word hath quickened me. The word of God getting into our hearts. The word of God will... If you're exposing yourself to the things which are going to crowd out the word, imagine the opposite, where you're exposing yourself to the word which will crowd out the things of the world. Okay, so the more, and I've said it before, the more of the word you get into you, the more of the word you get into, the more manifested victory you will have in your life. And I'll say that always, because it's the truth. I remember in my past, when I had little word in my heart and life, that was the times when I had what seemed to be in the natural, oh, this caused that and that caused that. But, you know, spiritually things were happening. And even though you could explain things in the natural, there were spiritual things and spiritual laws that were in place and were causing all types of things to go wrong. And I'm sure you've experienced that type of thing. But when you get the word into your life, then it's not hard to keep the commandments of the Lord, such as let not your heart be troubled. And a sound heart is the life of the flesh. And a sound heart is not one that is full of cares, but is full of thorns. A sound heart, as the life of the flesh, is going to be one that is at rest and has peace. The peace of God. As I said before, how do you know that you're believing? Believing what? The Word of God. How do you know that you're believing? Well, let's have a look at Hebrews 4. Just a quick look at Hebrews 4. So we know what the state of our heart should be. So we're very clear what the state of our heart should be. Hebrews 4. And we'll just read the verse, very first part of verse 3. Very first part of verse 3. It says in Hebrews 4, the first part of verse 3, for we which have believed do enter into rest. 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 So if trouble comes, the very best thing you can do is get more into the Word of God. Okay? If affliction comes, what's going to quicken you? What did we read before? It's the Word of God that will quicken you. So if trouble comes or affliction comes, the more reason to get into the Word of God itself. The more reason for us to get into the Word of God. This is so very important. I can't overemphasize this, because the devil is targeting the heart of Christians all over the place. You know, he's got the heathen, because he's the god of this world. But he wants to make Christians ineffectual. He wants to take them out of blessing. He wants to bring bring it to the situation where, you know, you're not doing what God wants you to do. Now I want to just finish with Colossians 3. So have a look at Colossians 3. We'll look at verse 16 in Colossians 3. You know, God is saying to us tonight, saying to us clearly, I want you to be a people of no compromise. I want you to be a people that is not afraid to come to the Lord and be honest. You know, we saw what a good heart is all about. A good heart is an honest heart. Not be afraid. We'll look at verses 15 and 16. Verses 15 and 16 of Colossians 3. So not be afraid to come to the Lord, and if you know there's things that have to be right, you get them right before the Lord. You know, God is wanting his people to be delivered out of things which have kept them back in the past. Colossians 3, starting with 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. The peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Be ye thankful. You see, a thankful heart or thankful person is demonstrating that they acknowledge what the Lord has done for them, acknowledge his blessings. We read before you, let your prayer, let your request be known to God with thanksgivings. With thanksgiving, be thankful. Be thankful always. Don't blame God. Don't be like Martha, who came and said, "Don't you care?" to Jesus, accusing Jesus of not caring. Don't be like that. Well, Jesus said there was one thing needful, and Mary had chosen that one thing, which was to sit at his feet and hear the word of God. Is that one thing needful in us, that we need to put the word in its proper place, not like Martha, who was putting other things in place of the word? And he said, "You're full of cares." He said that to her. She was cumbered and burdened. But here we see, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. It's all about the heart, isn't it? The state of the heart. Peace of God, letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly. With the word of Christ dwelling in you richly, you know, those cares and deceitfulness of riches and lusts of other things, they're not going to find their place in your heart, because you're letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Now the Lord wants me to pray for people tonight, if you are open to it. He also wants me to give you an opportunity before him to say, "Lord, I have allowed these things to get in the way, and I want to give you a moment in God." And look, frankly, I believe that right across the earth today, the body of Christ, there needs to be the message of repentance has to go right through the body of Christ, so that we get to the stage where when the preacher is preaching, it's going to the good ground hearts. Right across the earth, it all starts with us. You know, as I said, when I was first a Christian, there were things that I had that had to be dealt with, and I let them go, and got me into a lot of trouble. But whereas I thought that repentance was a scary thing, you know, in God's eyes, it's a gift. It's a gift, and He wants that gift. He wants to give you that gift. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray for the people here, for all of us here, Lord. Father, I ask that where there is openness, that you give that gift of repentance, so that our hearts can be before you good ground hearts for the Word of God. So the Lord is speaking to you, not just to the people here, but whoever hears this, He's speaking to you. He's speaking to those here today. And if there is anything in your heart that needs to be made right with the Lord, I'm going to give you a few moments, but just say to the Lord, Lord, I have allowed this to cause my heart to be hard or with thorns. But Lord, give me repentance, the gift of repentance. I choose to go your way. I choose to go your way. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me. Forgive me for not putting the word in its right place. I repent of, and you say it if you need to, I choose the Lord Jesus Christ. I choose the Word of God. Wash me clean by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. In the name of Jesus.